morning. Thank you very much for coming. And may our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, Agir Yitzchak Ben Chaim, of blessed memory. And we're going to begin again the third chapter of Masechet Chagigah. So this is on page Chachom and Beis, page 20b. We're going to start the third chapter. So the end here of Masechet Chagigah seemingly digresses, discussing purity and, digress from the topic of holidays to discuss the issues of purity. So we know that in general, in regards to purity and impurity, there is a sliding scale. So for example, the most impure object would be a dead body. A dead human body is called Avi Avos HaToma, the father of fathers. If a person touches a dead body, he becomes Av HaToma. And Av HaToma, who touches food or utensils, makes those food or utensils into a Rishon LaToma. A Rishon LaToma can touch another item, and it can make it into a Sheni LaToma. A Sheni LaToma, if it touches Truma, now makes the Truma into Shlishi, and the Truma now is impure and has to be discarded. Now, if that Truma were to touch another piece of Truma, nothing happens. That's sort of where it stopped. In regards to Truma, it stops at the level of Shlishi. In regards to karbanos, meat of a holy animal, meat of a sacrifice, there, the rabbis added stringencies. And if, let's say, a piece of truma that was a shlishi touched a karban, that karban now becomes a revi'i, and that becomes disqualified and has to be discarded. So that's normally the case of tuma. Tuma, you know, goes down and it's degradation. What we're learning here is that the rabbis created ma'alos. They created all sorts of rabbinic increases. Things that are not biblically tame, rabbinically are considered tame in regards, say, for a karban, but they wouldn't be considered tame in regards to truma. So that's what the Mishnah begins with. Chomer b'kodesh mi b'truma. The following is a stringency in the laws of purity and impurity that is applied to sacred items, to a karban, meat of a sacrifice, but this stringency does not apply to teruma. Again, just to review the key words, every produce that grows in Israel, especially wheat, there's a mitzvah first thing after the wheat is harvested, and it's piled up in its nice pile. There's a mitzvah to take some of the wheat and to elevate it, to make it holier. And that holy wheat is called teruma, and it's given to the Kohen. It's eaten by the Kohen. Non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. And it's eaten in a state of purity. He has to be tahar when he eats it. That's teruma. Now, a kachim is meat of a sacrifice, flour of a mincha. It's a even higher level of law and sanctity. So the Mishnah here says, Chomer b'kodesh b'tshuma. Here's a stringency that applies to sacred items. This stringency does not apply to truma. So what is the stringency? Let's say you have two plates, and they both became impure. You have two metal plates, and a person who had touched a dead body, or was in the same room as a dead body, he touches both plates. So now these plates are tame. So to make them tahor, they have to go into the mikvah. Or you had two metal plates and a dead rodent fell on them. So they have to go into the mikvah. Now normally when things go into a mikvah to be immersed, one of the things you have to watch out for is chatzitza. You have to make sure that the waters, the purifying waters of the mikvah, touch every single part of the object. It can't be that there is some type of sticker, dividing the water from a little part of the object or a barrier, mud. So here we're going to see this issue may be an issue of chatzitza, to put two plates at once into the mikvah, because the top plate is going to weigh down on the lower plate, and therefore the bottom of the top plate and some of the surface of the lower plate may not actually get water on them. So the Mishnah says, here's a stringency. Chomer b'kodesh m'chuma. Shematbilim kelim b'soch kelim l'chuma. If you have two objects that are impure, two utensils that are impure, you can immerse both of them together. You can immerse the plate in a plate and at once put these two plates into the mikvah. That's fine to purify it in order to be able to use it with chuma. Avlo b'kodesh. But if you had two plates that were impure and you put them together into the mikvah, that was not a purification for Kodesh, for Karbanos. Rabbinically, it's still considered that it didn't get its full immersion, and it is not purified. All right, next law. There are certain cups where different parts of the cup can be used. Like, imagine a cup where you have an indentation on the front, and then on the bottom also an indentation. Sometimes you see these Kiddush cups like it, sort of like two cups glued to each other. And then sometimes you can have a cup where the handle, or where the cup is pinched, you could also put liquids into there, right? You could have, like French fries. You can have French fries in a cup, and then the little handle of the cup, you could have a little spot to put ketchup. So when you have multiple receptacles in a cup, is that considered separate cups, or is that still considered one big cup? So therefore, says the Mishnah, in regards to rabbinic tumos, hacharayim v'tochu beit tatzvita b'truma v'lo b'kodesh. In regards to truma, the bottom of the cup, the tzvita, where the handle of the cup is, where the little pinch of the cup is, the inside of the cup, these could be considered three different utensils. So let's say you had some rabbinic impurity to the very back of the cup. So that's now tameh. But the inside of the cup is still tahor. That's in regards to truma. Again, but here's a stringency of olo b'kodesh. But in regards to sacrifices, in regards to things that are holy, there's a stringency. If there's an impurity that went into the back, the whole cup is considered impure now. It's all one utensil. If part of it became impure, the whole thing became impure. All right, now a third stringency. Hanoseas hamidra, somebody who is carrying an av hatoma. Let's see, he's carrying the shoe of a zav, or the sandal of a zav. So whatever a zav sits on and puts pressure on becomes an av hatoma. A person is carrying this midras. So if he's carrying the midras, no se'a sachuma. He can also carry in his other hand a barrel of chuma, because the midras hazav, the avatuma, is not getting into the barrel. It's not making the chuma tame. That's true with truma. But again, a stringency of alo asa kodesh, he can't carry kodesh, he can't carry that which is sacred while he's carrying the midras hazav. Another law. Big day ochle truma, the garments of people who eat truma, kohanim who eat truma. So midras, those garments are considered an avatuma, lekodesh, for people who want to eat that which is holy. So a person who wants to eat things that are holy, wants to eat meat of a karban, if he happened to touch the garment of a kohen, he says, okay, I need to go to the mikvah now. It's as if I touch an avatuma. That's an added stringency. Now some stringencies about immersion. Lo, kemidas hakodesh, midas hatruma. The way in which we treat things in regards to sacred objects, or not the way in which we treat things in regards to purifying them to be able to eat truma. Shabbat Kodesh, if you have a garment that's impure, and you want to put the garments into the mikvah, in regards to making it pure so that you'll be able to eat a karban, matir, a person unties the garment, or if the garment is wet, minagev, he dries the garment, and then matfil, then he puts it into the mikvah. Yachakach kosher, and only afterwards can he tie it. But if it's Shuma, in Shuma we're more lenient. In Shuma we're lenient. If you have a garment kosher, you can actually tie the garment. Yachakach matbil, and then put it into the mikvah, and we don't say, oh, if you tied it, the water's not going to get through. It's going to get through. another law. Let's say somebody's weaving garments, making a bowl, finishing a utensil. Now the utensil has to be finished for it to be able to become tame. So as you see that it's getting close to its being finished, then a person is this craftsman, when he's completing his utensil, he's very careful to make sure that everything stays tahar. Nobody spits on it, who might be a zav, no nida touches it, no tummy mace touches it, so kelim, a utensil, hanigmarim v'tahara, that are being finished in a state of purity. So now, even though they were finished in a state of purity, now, if you want to use it for a karban, tzvichim tefillah l'kodesh, you need to still immerse it again in a mikvah to be able to use it for that which is sacred. Have all the truma, but for truma not. Another law. A utensil combines everything that's in it to be considered one item in regards to karbanos. What does that mean? Let's say you have a bowl or a basket, and in this basket you have five discrete pieces of meat. And a tame person touches one piece of meat of the five. In regards to karbanos, we say all five are tame. It's as if it's all one piece. Again, it's a shinyasi for kodesh, avalola truma, but not for truma. For truma, the other pieces are tahor. Next, another law, harevi b'kodesh pasul. When you get to the level called revi l'tumah, the fourth stage of tumah, you're far, far from the avat tumah. You had the nida, the zav, the person who touched the dead body, the person who was in the room, same room as the dead body, the dead nevela, the dead Sheretz, and they touch something, and then that thing touched something else, and that thing touched something else, and that something else touches this. When you get to Revi, four stages away from the Avatumah, Revi Bekodesh, in regards to a karban, or meat of a karban, it's possible you can't eat it anymore. Ashlishi Betruma, and in Truma, Ashlishi is possible, but the Revi, nothing happened to it. Betruma, in Truma there's another law. If one of his hands became tameh, to chaver to tahor, the other hand is tahor, with the tumah of the tumah drabbana that only applies to the hand. B'kodesh, whereas in regards to the meat of karbanos, if one hand became tameh, matbil shtei, and he has to immerse both of them into the mikvah, shayad metameh is chaver to b'kodesh. One hand makes its other friend tameh in regards to kodesh. Have a little bit truma, but that's not the case in regards to truma. Just the dead body. No. The sheretz is avatama. All right, we are the second to last line here on Chafam Ebeiz. Another stringency. Ochlin neguvim. A person can eat food which is dry. In other words, an apple which grows on a tree, while it's attached to the tree, it doesn't have the ability to become tame. Once it's detached from the tree, also it doesn't have the ability to become tame. It has to be washed off. The washing off of the apple, it's called the hechsher of the apple, that's what's machshir the apple, makes it able to become tame. So let's say you have an item, an apple, which is totally dry. It's dry now, and it's always been dry. So an apple which is totally dry and has always been dry, you're allowed to eat it. Biyadayim suavos, with hands that are tame. Because even though the hands are tame, they're touching something which doesn't have the ability to become tame. So you can eat it that way. So that's true about truma. That's true about truma. Avalo b'kodesh, but you can't do that in regards to that which is sacred. Now starting today's daf, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Ha'onein, let's say somebody unfortunately lost a close relative. And the relative hasn't been buried yet. So he's busy with the relative. In that state, he's not allowed to do service in the Beis HaMikdash. So an onein, or a mechusar kippurim, somebody who's just missing his karban. Let's say he's a zav, or he was a mitzora. He had his 7 days. He went to the mikvah already. The sun set on him. But the next day, he's supposed to bring his karbanos. So he's just missing his karban to purify himself fully. In these cases, tzrichin tevil kodesh. Even after they brought their karban, if he wants to eat a karban, he wants to eat the holy meat, he has to go to the mikvah again, have a lola truma, but not in regards to being able to eat truma. Okay, now we'll do the Gemara. The Gemara starts with the first law of the Mishnah. The first law of the Mishnah was that there is a stringency in sacred items more than in teruma items, that if you have items that are impure and you want to immerse them, so when it comes to sacred items, you can't immerse two plates together. It has to be each plate separately on its own. But in regards to being pure enough to be able to have teruma, you could immerse the two plates together. Says the Gemara, V'kodesh, my time alo. Why in regards to making something pure to be able to eat sacred items with it, what's the reason why you can't immerse two plates together? Amrav Ila, Rav Ila said, Mipnei shekvedo shel kli chotzeitz. The weight of the inner plate weighs down the outer plate that it's placed in it, and therefore it serves as a barrier. It prevents the water from getting to all the sides of the inner plate, and it prevents the water from getting to all the sides of the outer plate. So therefore, there's no immersion here. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Let me just say, when we got to later parts of the Mishnah, those were about chatzitza. That was about chatzitza. Me to say, mishum chatzitza. Later in the Mishnah, we said that in regards to kodesh, you have to first untie the garment or dry the garment, and then it can go into the mikvah. In regards to truma, you could even tie the garment and then put it into the mikvah. So that's where we deal with the issues of chatzitza. We have stricter rules of what's a barrier in regards to immersion of kodesh than in regards to truma. That's later in the Mishnah. So why do we, if the first rule of the Mishnah is also about barriers, why do we have these rules separated? Right? We have this first rule of don't immerse two plates together. Then we said that in regards to truma, the back of a utensil, the side of the utensil, the inside of the utensil are three different utensils. So why move on to a different issue? Keep talking about issues of chatzitza. Stay with chatzitza. So the Gemara asks this question. Since later in the Mishnah it's about the issue of chatzitza, that implies at the beginning it's not because of chatzitza. The Katani says, because it says at the end, the lo kemidas hakodesh midas hatruma, and the measure of what is true about kodesh is not like what we have in regards to truma. So the kodesh, in regards to kodesh, we're very strict on the laws of barriers of the water. So after, you first have to untie the item, then you immerse it. Or menagev, if the item is wet, you have to first dry it, and then you immerse it. Umatbil, the achakah kosher, and then you can retie it. Vistruma, but in regards to teruma, if you want to make an item pure to be able to eat teruma, then all you need to do is even kosher. You can tie it, v'achakach matbil, and then immerse it. So I understand. Reisha v'seif mishum chatzitza. So is the beginning. So the end is because of chatzitza. So that means that the reisha is not because of chatzitza. Answer the Gemara, no. Reisha v'seif mishum chatzitza. We actually have two different stringencies. Both about chatzitza. The laws of chatzitza, the laws of barriers are stricter in regards to purifying something when you want to eat kodesh than they are in regards to purifying something to be able to eat shuma. Reisha v'seif mishum chatzitza tricha. I don't have to tell you both cases. The Yeshmin and Reisha would have told you the first case of the two plates. Have me any time to do the kodesh lo. This is why such an immersion doesn't work for making something pure to be able to eat a karban. Mishum kvedo shel kli, because the utensil is heavy. Tiikot, the heaviness of the utensil serves as a chatzitza. Aval seifa, when we talk about a knot, like a kvedo shel kli, we don't have the issue of a heavy utensil. Aim, I would have thought, lekodesh nami, that even in regards to making something pure to be able to eat a karban, you could have a knot and immerse it. And lo yavli chatzitza, it's not considered a barrier. Yeshmin and seifa would have told you in the end that you can tie something and then immerse it in regards to truma. But in regards to kudshim, you have to untie it and then immerse it. Yeshmin and Seifa, have Amina was thought to say, I need time to the kodesh lo. This is why in regards to kodesh, it doesn't work. Mishum, because, now turning to the next page, the kitra b'maya aduki mahadik. When you have something tied and you put it into the water, it now gets tighter. It gets tighter. The water makes it tighter. So since the water makes it tighter, that's a chatzitza. Aval Reisha, but in the first case, when you take two plates and you put the two plates together in the water, water has the power of buoyancy. Water makes the top plate float up. It separates the plates. So that I would think is okay. Aval Reisha, but in the beginning, Demaya akfuye makfule lamana. Water is going to make a utensil float. That's what water does. You put two plates into the water is going to make them both float. They're going to separate. So then, lo havya chatzitz. I would think that that's not even considered a barrier, even in regards for Kodesh, even when we're stricter. For the holy items, this would not be considered a barrier. And I would think you could take two utensils and put them in the mikveh at once. That's why I need to tell you both things. You can't put two utensils into the mikveh at once for a Kodesh, and you can't immerse an item which is tied for Kodesh. You could immerse an item which is tied for Chuma, and for Chuma you could immerse two plates together. And it's the fact that we say that there's a stringency in regards to plates or stringency in regards to a knot is not, it's not intuitive to apply one stringency to the next, because the issue with knot is water making a knot tighter. And the issue with plates is that water naturally is going to separate one plate from the next. So there's reason to distinguish these two from each other. So that's why it's tzricha. We need both cases.
Universal. In other words, there's a chatzitza during the bris milah.
No, that's mitzitza.
Oh, mitzitza. Okay.
Yeah, in the bris milah, there's mitzitza, which is the suctioning of blood. So the Gemara believed that medically somehow it was dangerous to cut the foreskin and just leave the blood there. That by suctioning some of that blood out, maybe it would prevent infections. That was a health procedure to increase the health. That's mitzitza. But here, chatzitza is actually what we learned about back in Masech Tasukah. We learned on Daf Hey. The Gemara discussed different halachos lamoshe misinai. The Rabbi Yochanan taught that shiurin, mechitzin, and chatzitzin are halachos lamoshe misinai. That the measurements of a kezayis or other measurements, a revius, that's a halacha lamoshe misinai. The laws of walls for Shabbos, for a sukkah. It's a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. And a chatzitza, that if a person has hairs on his body that he tied, so that now the water can't touch every part of his body. So it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai that depending on how much hair is tied, whether that's a biblical issue, a rabbinic issue, to make the immersion not a good immersion. That's actually, you know, chatzitzin are a very big question that comes up nowadays when a woman goes to the mikvah, because there are all sorts of things that women do for beauty. Nail polish, sometimes there are women who, you know, do hair extensions, and then there's they might put, you know, things on their eyebrows. So they're not natural things. So is that a chatzitza, were she to go to the mikvah? The water is not reaching every part of her natural body. But here there is an important leniency that there are those who feel that kol shalinoi, things that were done for beauty, eino chotzeitz, is not a chatzitza. So that's an important leniency, but that's a big issue, the issues of chatzitza nowadays. Okay, now, says the Gemara, this explanation, right, where the Gemara had said in Chafal from Adalf, my time, what's the reason why you can't immerse the two plates together? Amar Reb Ila said, this explanation of Reb Ila, that there's an issue of chatzitza, Rabbi Ila l'tame. This is Rabbi Ila being consistent. So I'm Rabbi Ila, I'm Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, because Rabbi Ila said in the name of Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Eser Malos Shanu Kan. In this Mishnah, there are 10 different levels, or 10 stringencies that Kodesh has more than Truma. So he said there are 10 things here that we are stricter about for holy items than we are for Truma items. So one, Chatzitza. You can immerse two utensils together for Kodesh, you can't for Truma. Two, within a cup that has a separate back part and a side part and an inner part, those are three different utensils in regards to Truma, but one utensil in regards to Kodesh. Three, if a person's carrying an object, which is an Avatuma, he can't also carry Kodesh, but he could carry Truma. Four, the garments of people who eat Truma are treated as an Avatuma by the people who want to eat Kodesh. Five, in regards to a utensil that was finished in a state of purity, you still have to immerse it into the mikvah for Kodesh. You don't have to immerse it into the mikvah to be able to use it for Truma. Six, different objects within one utensil are all considered one object in regards to Kodesh. In regards to Truma, they're still considered different objects. Seven, that a Revi'i Kodesh is already disqualified, and in Truma, only a Shlishi is disqualified. You don't have to get to, there is no such thing as Revi'i. Eight, in Truma, if one hand is Tameh, the other hand is Tahar, but in Kodesh, if one hand is Tameh, the other hand also has to go into the mikvah. Nine, if you wanted to eat food that was always dry, you could do so with hands that are Tameh in regards to Truma, but not for Kodesh. And then 10, an Onain, or a Mechusar Kippurim, still have to go to the mikvah before they can eat Kodesh, even after they brought their karbanos, but in regards to Truma, not. So he says that there are 10 levels. If there are 10 levels, that means he's dropping this level of the untying. Because the untying that you have to do before you immerse a garment for Kodesh is really included in the fact that you can't immerse two plates for Kodesh. Because these are both laws of Chatzitza. That there is a law of Chatzitza that's very strict in regards to Kodesh. And in regards to Truma, we're more lenient with Chatzitza. If the water can get through, that's already enough. Even if, it's not exactly so clear that it will get through. So that's fine. That's Dam Reb Ila. Reb Ila holds Am Reb Chanina Bar Papa, Am Reb Chanina Bar Papa, Eser Ma'ala Shanukah. There are 10 levels here. Chamesh Rishonos, the first five levels. So the first five levels are, you can't immerse a utensil within a utensil. For Kodesh, the rear, the inside, and the handle are considered one utensil. For Kodesh, if you're carrying Midras, you can't carry also Kodesh. If you're carrying an Avatum, you also can't carry Kodesh. The garments of people who eat Truma are considered an Avatumah for Kodesh. And the utensils that are finished in a state of purity in regards to Kodesh, they still need to go to the mikvah. So these first five, Chamesh Rishonos, apply Bein LeKodesh. They apply both for a person who wants to eat a meat of a carbon, that which is actually holy. And Bein Lechulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. They also apply that if a person says, I'm treating all of my chulin as if it's Kodesh. I'm going to eat my regular meat from the local butcher as if it's carbon meat. I'm going to have that level of purity in my home. If he wants to have that level of purity in his home, Chulin Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh, he would have to listen to those first five laws too, that if he had two utensils and he put into the mikvah together, he would treat them as impure utensils. For Chulin Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh. My time or why? However, Achronos, the last five, LeKodesh, they only apply to Karbanos, Avolo LeChulin Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh. They don't apply to Chulin that are made or that are being treated as if they are holy. My time or why? Chamesh Kamaisa, the first five levels, the Islu Durara de Tumamida Oraisa. There you have a fear of biblical Tumma. Let's say you have the two utensils. So if you have the two utensils, then it is, you put the two utensils into the mikvah, right? They were tummy. If the immersion didn't work, because the top utensil weighed down on the bottom utensil, and they stay tummy. So then you have a biblical problem here. Now, When you talk about a cup with different parts to it, Rashi points out, that's obviously a Tumah Midrabanan. But the Tumah Midrabanan, let's say, of liquids is connected to a fear of a biblical Tumah. It's based on a fear of the spittle of a Zav, the bodily fluids of a Zav, or the urine of a Zav. And that would be D'oraisa. Now in D'oraisa, certainly when you have a biblical Tumah, there's no difference between the different parts of the item. Wherever, if the biblical Tumah touched the item, the whole item becomes Tumah. So again, there's a connection to biblical issues here. Obviously, carrying a medrash, carrying an Avat Tumah, if the Avat Tumah falls into the barrel with the wine, that's going to be certainly a Tumah Midoraisa. That's going to be a Tumah Midoraisa. The garments of Ochle Truma, that they're considered an Avat Tumah for people eating Kodesh. Again, it's based on a fear of a biblical Tumah, because a person who eats Truma, he doesn't really watch things as carefully as those who eat Kodesh. If he's not watching it, maybe his wife, when she's a Nida, is going to sit on it, and that'll make it into a Medrash, and that'll be an Av HaTumah. And when you have an item that got finished in a state of Tahara, but again, we're still worried that maybe there was spittle on it from before it was finishing, before it was getting done. That was spittle from an Ama Aretz. And the Ama Aretz may be a Zav. So the spittle of a Zav, again, is going to be a biblical Tumah. So when we deal with the first issues where there's a fear of biblical Tumah, because we were Rabban and the rabbis made their decrees, Bein L'Kodesh, both for sacred items, Bein L'Chulin Shenasol Taras HaKodesh, and for non-sacred items that are being treated as if they're sacred items. Basra Yaisa, however, when we deal with the last cases, the last Ludrara de Tumah Midoraisa, we don't have a fear of biblical Tumah. Let's say the last case is an Onain, somebody who's a Mechusar Kippurim, he's a Zav, he's already on day 8, he went to the mikvah, he brought his karbanos, he just hasn't gone to the mikvah again. There's no fear of a biblical Tumah over here. When one hand is Tameh, with the Tumah Drabanan, how do we relate to the other hand? So here we don't have any fear of a biblical Tumah. So then, the rabbis created these added stringencies and they apply to sacred items. But for an item which is chulin, it's just being treated as if it's kodesh, there the rabbis didn't make their decree. All right, so this is approach number one, the approach of Rabbi Ila. The Mishnah said that in regards to a karban, in regards to a sacrifice, you cannot put into the mikvah two plates at once, two utensils at once. What's the reasoning? It's a chatzitza issue. When you put two plates at once, the weight of one plate might be a chatzitza for the other plate. That's what we had said in the Mishnah. That's what Rav Ila said. Now Rava gives a different answer. Rav Amar said no. Rava said, "Mi d'seif av mishum chatzitza." Since later in the Mishnah we start dealing with the issues of chatzitza, untie a thread and then put it into the mikvah. Don't tie the thread and then put it into the mikvah for Kodesh, but you could tie the thread and then put it into the mikvah for Truma. Since the end is in regards to chatzitza, Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, we have the two plates. Lav mishum chatzitza. That's not a worry of chatzitza. Reisha hainu taima. But this is the reasoning of the beginning of the Mishnah. Gzeira. There's a decree here. Shelo yatbil machtin v'tzinoros, that he shouldn't immerse needles or little pipes. Bekli she'ein b'fiv kishroferes hanod. If we're going to say you could immerse utensils in utensils, somebody might take a baby bottle, a glass baby bottle, and put into this glass baby bottle a needle, and then immerse the baby bottle with the needle into the mikvah. Now then it's not going to work, because when you have two bodies of water, mikvah water, and you want it to connect to the water in the utensils, it should all be considered mikvah water, you need to have an opening that's like the opening of a barrel, the straw of a barrel. The straw of a barrel is two fingers that go around and around. So you have to have an opening at least this big. If you have a little baby bottle, you're not going to have an opening that big. So here the guy puts his needle in the baby bottle, and he puts the baby bottle into the mikvah. That immersion does not purify the needle, because the waters of the baby bottle that are in the baby bottle are considered separated from the waters of the mikvah. So because of that fear, to prevent that, they said never put two utensils together. But that's not an issue of chatzitza, it's not an issue of the water not reaching every part of the utensil. It's that the water in the utensil is considered detached from the water in the mikvah. Okay, it's not as we learned in the Mishnah, Eruv mikvos, if you want to combine two pools of water, one pool of water has 40 sa'ah, the other pool of water doesn't have 40 sa'ah, you want to combine one pool, the pool that is insufficient with the pool that is sufficient, you have to have a pipe connecting them, kishvoferes hanot, like the pipe which is like the reed that goes into a barrel. Ke'uvya uchechalala, that is both the thickness and the airspace of it. It's b'shtei etzbos chozros limkoman, it's with two fingers that come back to their place. And savarla, Rava holds, kahadam Rav Nachman Rav Baravua, like what Rav Nachman said, name Rav Baravua, not that there are 10 stringencies in our Mishnah, but Yud Aleph Milo Shanu Khan, there are 11 stringencies in our Mishnah. Sheish Yishonos Ben Lakodesh Ben Lachulun Shnas Rav Taras HaKodesh. And Chamesh Achronos are only Lakodesh, but not for Chulin Shnas Rav Taras HaKodesh. Okay, that's it.